we head to Ellettsville. Boy, what a gorgeous day it's going to be, gorgeous evening for Food Truck Wednesday at the Marcy Jane Lewis Park, the second week running over there. This weather is a lot better, and to help us all, well, with food and drink and all the fun, plus plenty of county council government news, your tax dollars, is our great friend Marty Hawk. Good afternoon, Marty. How are you?
Oh, I am fine, and I'm so delighted. Such beautiful weather for this Food Truck Wednesday. There's going to be entertainment and lots of great food and opportunity for lots of folks to come together and enjoy that park area and everything. It's just going to be a beautiful evening.
You know, I've told people, I said, hey, if you can't get to Target because it's too busy, or you can't go to your favorite, well, just go over to Ellettsville and enjoy. It's from 4:30 to 8:30. You've got covered seating over there where you're not going to sit in the middle of a field and cook all night. So, yeah, it's a great opportunity to wander Indiana a little bit.
It sure is. And, of course, we really welcome visitors over here. So it's a good time to just come over and see what's going on in the Ellettsville area. They really are wanting to excel at so many things. One of the things I talked to the fire department just a few minutes ago, because the Ellettsville Fire Department, remember, they cover all of the Richland Township area, not just Ellettsville, because they're also supported with our tax dollars going to the township. And so they are going to be asking for, they're going at 4:30 to meet with the Redevelopment Commission because, of course, they have to cover fire protection there in that TIF area. And so because so much of the dollars are captured there in the TIF area, they don't just automatically go to the fire department. The TIF area is now allowed to assist the fire department, and they're going to go and discuss some fire trucks with Redevelopment Commission. What is really needed is aerial ladders. You know, with more apartment buildings you get, whether you like them or not, they are here, and they're tall. And
sure,
you need an aerial truck to really take care of that, right, as well as these huge buildings that we have out in the TIF area. So we have to have the aerial trucks. Now, we only have one right now, and that's setting at the fire station there on Highway 46. The next one, if they're able to get another one, will be setting there in the fire station that is there on Curry Pike. And right now, it's staffed full-time with two full-time people. And, of course, that's 24/7. They have to staff it, so that there'll be two people there. And as of January 1 or sooner, if they can work out the finances to get it done, I know Fire District was going to add two folks there as well. So they will work in conjunction with one another.
Well, that's kind of interesting, Marty, because you want a big truck, but you only have two people there to drive it.
Well, of course, when they do a call out, there'll be others who
sure
will be assisting, but it really needs to be the four people there so that you do have, and they go out and they support. It doesn't have to be just the Richland Township. If someone else has need of mutual aid, they do that as well.
Well, the one thing that I found was interesting is we're talking about the Redevelopment Commission and buying a fire truck. Those weren't two things I thought we'd say in the same sentence, but that's how it works.
They're not obligated to buy the fire truck for the fire department, but if the fire department's going to ask if they could receive some dollars, they're talking about, well, maybe we could cobble it together by having the township dollars help pay for it out of their CUM funds, and then maybe we could get some dollars maybe from ARPA, maybe some from redevelopment, because these are very, very expensive propositions. I mean, the first one they're talking about is $2.2 million for a fire truck. So fire trucks are not inexpensive.
Right.
But aren't we glad that they show up when we need them? But now that the one that is really needed, that, of course, it's more expensive, is the one that they have. If they ordered it right now, they've got to wait 48 months for delivery. And what they can do is get signed in as a wait list and with no charge. But the minute they start working on them, putting that together, they start, you know, then
the clock starts ticking.
Yeah, right. So now the other one that they also need, and so they'll be working out whatever they can, is $1.7 million. But they can get that one in 36 months. And by that time, they have one right now. Well, they need to be ready to replace that one because it's getting older.
Yeah, these just don't sit in a showroom, right? You order them to spec, and then they build them for you. Is that how that works?
Well, yes. I mean, it's absolutely how it works. They have to engineer the whole thing together, make sure that they are providing what it is that we are ordering. But, you know, their calls, their run volume has gone up 60% in just this last year. Now, they're not all fire calls. Sometimes they're medical calls or something of the sort. But our fire department's very, very busy. I'm glad to see that they are working in conjunction with Monero Fire District, who also covers that area that is in Bloomington Township. So all of it together, we just have to make sure we have fire coverage for everyone.
And your district is not shrinking either. Your area of service is expanding. We know there's houses and apartments and buildings and all kinds of things going on in your township. So that's just part of the price of growing, isn't it?
Right, it sure is. Now, in the meantime, in this past year, they were able to do what they needed to do to get some additional firefighters. They were able to hire two extra firefighters. And that's so important. They got that extra edit money that the city put in place, and Ellisville got a portion of that. But because they were able to give some raises to the firefighters, they were able then to try to meet the competition and get some firefighters. So, and then talking with the Monero Fire District, with Chief Dillard, remember the county council votes on that budget for the fire district. And so going over his budget with him, it went up, didn't go up, the entire budget is right at $15 million. It's a little bit under $15 million, but it's very close to $15 million. And with that, it went up, the increase is 7.69%, and they do hope that the rate will come down because of the high, of course, the ISS value that we have. So that should reduce the rate. I don't have those numbers now. I don't think they know yet because we have to wait until we know exactly what the certified numbers are, the certified assess values. And they also count on getting a portion of that income tax because they're allowed to pull some of the income tax, the fire district does. And we don't know yet what that distribution is going to be. We're supposed to be finding out today, and I've just kept the button hitting it over and over again, like, what's going on?
They'll let you know when it's ready. They'll let you know when it's ready.
Right, that's for sure. Well, the other thing that we're going to be talking about today at the Redevelopment Commission is they're going to be discussing a residential TIF. Now, remember, as much as we all want to provide workforce housing, residential TIF means that growth in assessed value doesn't come out to support all the other taxing units. All of that money is captured right there. So the people making this decision, they'll be going over this, and hopefully they'll understand. The library won't get assistance or the others. However, we need workforce housing, so that's up to them to decide to begin with, and then it will have to come through my assumption, since we've never done one before,
right.
It would have to come back through the county commissioners and then to the county council, but I don't know that for sure because, like I said, we've never done
Why does this appear to be on paper to some a good idea, Marty, of doing a residential TIF? I can see why they would want to keep all the money in that TIF, but there has to be a reason we haven't done it that way before.
Okay, here's the thing. What we've done before is when money goes into the TIF, it's to grow, to provide for the roads, the sewer, the water, and whatever, for business growth. Business growth, so that we're doing job opportunities, and that's always been, let's do this, we'll grow the job opportunities. Now they're saying we're going to do this, and it will grow residential opportunities. Well, always in the past they didn't do that because residential really requires so many more services. I mean, the business growth is not really going to be using the library a whole lot, but the residential folks will, and they'll be using the schools and all the other, and, of course, all of county government services as well. So we'll see what they determine on that. Now, today, and I've looked at the agenda for the county council because we're supposed to be meeting next Tuesday. That is, if that all comes together. I understand that there's going to be three county council people who will not be able to be in attendance. That means all four of the rest of us must be there in order for us to actually have that meeting. So, and the reason why it is so important that we do this and hit that exact deadline is that increase in one income tax and take it off of another. Remember, I discussed with you that.
Yeah, the switcheroo for $400,000.
Switch it, yes. Not going to cost anybody any additional taxes.
But it needs to be filed or it needs to be moved by the deadline, correct?
Yeah, we have to have our first reading and then we'll have our second reading on the 29th. So it's important that we are all there. Even if somebody participates virtually, they can be counted, but you have to have four in person to be able to do this. And so the agenda is so long. There was, like, I think 17 items on the agenda, and I'm asking them to please put this first instead of last, because if this thing goes on for 3 and 4 hours, you're talking to one person who will not still be there for it. 4 hours later. I just don't do it. We can get our business done much quicker than that. So we need to do what we're required to get done, to get that done first. But one of the things which will take quite a long time, I'm sure, is the Sophia Travis awards that they do every year. Now, why they were doing it then, I have no clue.
Yeah, you can move that date, can't you?
Well, that could be moved, I suppose. No, I can't do it. You know, we'd have to leave that up to everybody else. But then it's also whether or not we are going to, what kind of a cost of living adjustment we might give. Remember, the county council's biggest expense, when we're looking at that, our biggest expense is almost always the payroll, you know, what it takes to make payroll, and so whether or not a cost of living adjustment could be made. And so that's really our work sessions. For years ago, we put in place a work session so we would just talk about budgets and everybody understand the flow of money and everything.
Yeah, I thought that would be the case. That's the most important thing, isn't it?
For some reason, they've got everything else in the world on here. I mean, there's some big things with the highway department. $350,000 for the bicentennial pathway and $894,610 for blacktop bituminous. And
for what? For what? What was that last one? I misunderstood you.
Bituminous. It's blacktop. You know.
Gotcha.
I
don't hear bituminous very, very many afternoons on the program. You'll have to.
Go
slowly.
I don't have to say it.
Hey, what happened with? I saw a headline maybe on B Square Bulletin about something with rural transit and Bloomington Transit. Did we get anything figured out there?
Well, and I'm wondering what else is going to do about that. If they're not going to allow rural transit to be able to operate there, the city looked like they went ahead and made decisions, and rural transit was not even in the room. But it looks like rural transit will not be allowed to, will not even be allowed to, you know, participate.
Wasn't that some governmental ruling or something?
It has to do with the federal government and how much what is called urban. And so in the meantime, what was it, like 27% of the people who live outside of the city is paying into this fund that is actually going to the city for limited transit.
But they can't go pick up the people that were it. They can't go pick up the people who are paying into it. That
that's one of the things that everyone's working on. The other big thing is right now all of this business about the folks have been like putting up their tents wherever they wanted to and staying wherever they wanted to. So now that's in the middle of there's going to be a meeting this evening. I believe that's the Parks Department's going to be meeting, talking about that this evening, and last night was Public Works that discussed that, and all three members of Public Works agreed to move forward with a resolution having to do with, you know, blocking the public access.
Yeah, we tried this a few years ago, and I believe, I don't know if I have this right, but there was a group that voted that they weren't going to stop this, so we've tried this before, right?
Well, we'll see where it goes. We know the Public Works can only, you know, put together a resolution saying that they would support this.
Right.
Now it will be up to others to decide whether or not they support the resolution. So it'll be up to what the city council decides if they support this resolution. And then the Parks Department will be looking at one as well. So I know that there's a large outcry from both sides. It's like we're tired of the dirty needles. We're tired of the people who, you know, want the food that you're eating, literally walking up to people in cars and saying, give me what you just got at a drive-thru restaurant. One of the ladies just told me about that as well. And so people are tired of that. On the other hand, our heart goes out to those who really are struggling and need help, because nobody actually is born saying, I really long to live on the street. And then there's also, what do we do about the situation where we really feel like so many of the other counties and the state taking advantage of us? So for that reason, I think it's really important that we take a look at the legislation that I think I might have talked with you about it in the past. I think it's Indiana Code 1484. No.
Well, just
1087.
Okay.
And here has to do with whether or not the state will continue to just automatically send everybody that they want to from DOC to Monroe County. Well, so there was legislation put in place that said they would only provide transportation to their home county. Well, then, during all that, and of course I was watching legislation as it went, there was it appeared that what they were saying was, oh, unless we'll allow them go to other counties, but part of which is if they have a job there and if they have housing, and so it has to have written proof that the released offender has been accepted in a reentry program, been approved by the court or a local county or state agency, and had the offender has employment.
A lot of boxes to check.
Yeah, or reentry program plan includes a housing plan that's been established. So what are we doing that maybe is allowing this in cooperation with the state? I mean, I don't know. I think so many people have asked, how is it possible that the DOC can come here and drop people off? And from reliable sources, that has been happening and for quite a while. So now...
Well, let me ask let me ask the reverse question. If they can drop them off, why can't we pick them up and take them back?
I know. But if we've agreed to do this, if we've agreed somehow, and that's...
But if we've agreed to do it, they're not doing it in the dark of night then if we've agreed to it, why did we agree to it?
Well, right. I'm just saying maybe with a... with community corrections and all of the different probation officers and our reentry courts, and we've provided all this and we have welcomed this. I do not know the answer to that. But at least we, if indeed this is true, we can quit shooting arrows at the state because we've said welcome.
Who is we?
We as in... That's what I want to do. I want to do some work on this that says, oh, no, Marty, you don't even understand this, or yes, that's what we do, and we don't want you to understand it.
Right. Well, you let us know, please, because this sounds a very topical discussion.
Well, it really is, because when you talk to the first responders, the people working the ambulances and so forth. One in particular said they literally asked one person, why they were there if they didn't want to be there. And they said that somebody from another county, neighboring county, had brought them here.
All right. So, I
mean, you know, I it isn't like as if I can do anything other than read this legislation.
Well, I hear you. I want you to know when you get some answers, I would like you to share them on our program on Wednesdays after 4:05.
Right, that is certainly what I plan to do, and hopefully someone will have a discussion. I do have an email I sent out to Phil Parker, and he did try to reach me yesterday, and then I was not able to talk with him at the time, so we keep missing one another, to see what the sheriff's take is on this. Phil Parker is the chief deputy for the sheriff.
Good.
So that we'll decide, you know, is this in our best interest? Is this why so many are here? And if so, what is our plan to get them off the street? And if we really think that all we keep doing is building them more apartments or whatever, we already know that doesn't work. We tried that.
It's not an easy solution. You're absolutely right, and there's a ton of moving parts involved with it. And I transparency, I think, would help this situation. Well, maybe, what do I know? I haven't been in government. I don't know how this works. So I appreciate you following along on everything, and your meeting next Tuesday, if it gets going, is normal bat time, normal bat channel.
Right, and let's just hope everybody, there's four of us that have to stay well.
If not, we'll just pass it on, and then we'll have to go figure out deadlines and other things that go along with it. And that's why we talk every Wednesday, Marty. Could you imagine if we went 3 weeks without talking, how many things we'd have to get to?
Oh, well, I would miss talking with you for certain.
Well, yeah, but you think the agenda's big on Tuesday night for your meeting? How big would our agenda be if we did this once a month? My goodness.
Don't ask me to remember it all.
No, I will not. I will not. That's why we love covering the big topics with you. And you told me last week there was going to be sunshine today for Ellettsville Food Truck Wednesday, and you nailed it. Get out there and enjoy it.
It is gorgeous. Thank you. Have a good afternoon. Bye-bye.
That's County Councilwoman Marty Hawk.